whether we know it or not, or whether it's hit you or not yet, all roads lead to the same place, and it's called Christ. Every scripture, every passage, every message should be leading towards your identity in Christ and Christ's identity in you. One of the things that I definitely want to make sure that happens in this semester, in this class, you know, we may have been in church for a little while. We've learned some things, but I really want us to be open. I said in my last class, I said this: if you're familiar with pottery, you know, there has to be clay, has to be water. It's the only way that it's moldable. It has to be clay and it has to be hydrated. Otherwise, it's going to get hard. It's going to get solidified in whatever shape that it's in, right? And then the only thing to change it now is to break it, right? And sometimes breaking is inevitable. Sometimes your mind, you ever somebody say that somebody's hard-headed? Or somebody can be hard-hearted? Yeah, the only thing can do that is breakage. That can change that. And but if you can stay moldable, right? And you can stay loose, then God can keep molding you into what he's molding you into. You're already made in his image, but he's trying to build that concept in your understanding, that you know that you are one with him. It all ends with the one. It begins with the one and ends with the one. It ends at that point. We are several different beings and different bodies, but we are all one. Ephesians 4 talks about that specifically. We'll get to that some in this semester too. But we have to understand that our goal is to understand our nature in Christ. Right? Not our religion, although religion, and I do a lot with a lot of words in this class, because we have a lot of words that we misinterpret wrongly. 2019, religion means churchy or spiritual or whatever, right? Or whatever people want to say, but religion actually means to bind. It comes from the word religare. You know, it means to bind to a set of understandings or vows or rules, okay? The reason that you are bound to those things, just as a child should be bound to some kind of discipline, until they know who they are. Got to make a child go take a bath every night. Because if you don't, you know you're going to go 3-4 days without doing it. Innocently. They don't think anything wrong with it. You get what I'm saying? So I have to develop them in a regiment until they become to a place where nobody has to tell them. Are you understanding? You have to clean up a child. You have to take diapers and all that stuff. You have to do that for a while until they become potty trained, and then even after then, you still got to teach them how to finish it off the proper way. You get it? So this is religion. Religion was never meant to be your full reality. It was only an avenue to the true you. It was only an avenue that we grow up in. Ephesians 4 talks about that. We grow up, but not just grow up. Everybody wants to grow up, but it makes it specific that we grow up into him. It's very absolute. Grow up into him in all things. It says this, for the sake of what we're doing, I don't want to go turn there because I get caught up in Ephesians 4 and we'd be there all night. We'd be there for the rest of the class. But it says, grow up till you become perfect. It talks about perfecting of the saints. Yeah. Perfect doesn't mean flawless. Yeah. Flawless and perfect are not the same thing. Right. You know, ain't nobody perfect. Don't let nobody tell y'all that no more. Because now we don't have faith for perfection. Right. The scripture talking about herein is my love made perfect. Right. It's the perfecting of the saints. Mm-hmm. Right? The perfecting means whole, full of purpose, and mature. Not flawless. Actually, what is flawless? Because in your eyes, one thing could be not cool, right? You might not like that color. That ain't flawless to you, but the other person it may be. Y'all get what I'm saying? Yeah. Flawless is a figment of our imaginations. It doesn't exist. It's something somebody came up with that made you chase some dream that doesn't exist. Then they started messing the words up and saying perfect. No, perfection is where you're headed. Perfection is actually who you are. You're made perfect. But through time and through doctrine and through other words and other ideas and other mentalities, we weaned away and latched on to some other ideas that weren't fully Christ. And I'm not even talking about bad things. Some things that seem to be good things are still on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are y'all understanding me? The only thing that can differentiate good and evil and be able to disperse it the proper way is the tree of life. All right, the Bible's a story about us. Remember this, right? And there are the Bible is everything in the Bible actually happened, right? Like it actually existed, but it's also a parallel of an understanding. So even the tree of life, right? Over in John, Jesus started talking, saying, I'm the vine. You're the branch. Then another time he says, I am the way and the truth and the tree of life. Jesus is the tree of life. We are a part of the tree of life. But if we take our branch and separate it, it's talking about in John 15. If you separate a branch from it, it cannot bear fruit or cannot take the nutrients from the root. It's cast off and cast into the fire because it's no longer connected. This is what happened when we ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and tried to take God and all of his deity and all of his being and do what we want to do with it. Are you understanding it? We're living by the book. It's living by the book. You go slow down. Living by the book is more about slowing down, taking the time and reading it and seeing what it's saying to you and not being closed into what you think you know already. The worst thing that can happen to you is to think you already know, because that's the beginning of nobody being able to tell you nothing. Are you understanding me? You can't grow when you think you know already. So now we're ending. We're all the place that the Father is culminating us to is the oneness with him. This is what I'm saying. Understanding our oneness with him. Understanding we're one with the Father, he is one with us. What he has is ours. Right? Right? We always like to say everything I have is his, but he's trying to tell you the same thing. If you allow him to. Right? So this is where we're getting to. We can go through every motion, every move, every step, every worship, every praise, every prayer, every fast, every kneel, whatever y'all want to do that y'all think is spiritual. And it's all trying to lead you to the same place, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if we don't get there, then all the other moves are in vain. Right? If we consistently tell God that we love him, but we don't allow him to tell us that he loves us, then it's incomplete. There's no connection. There's no oneness. So you see where we're going? Yeah. So now when we talk about the word of God, when we talk about the book, living by life, life by the book, living by the book, when we talk about this book is a mirror of you. Mm-hmm. And you can find yourself in different situations at different times. Right? Yeah. Right? I might have mentioned that last week, but you can find yourself in David's place sometime. Oh, that's right. Right? Come on, who your favorite one was? Solomon, Abraham, you know, I'll never forget, man, I laugh. You slow down and read some of these things. You know, the father of faith, they talk about Abraham. I heard a guy preach this one time. He said the father of faith, you know, they call him Father Abraham. They call him the father of faith. He's that's what the scripture calls him. But the father of faith is really the father of God. And Jesus is the author and finisher. All right. But the one, you know, you do the hall of faith in Hebrews. They're talking about Abraham by faith. But he's the same one that was questioning God and went in to try to do it another way than what God told him to do. That same God. You find yourself. How many times have we been fearful or we had our own ways? He said, I'm going to do it like this. Can I get living by the book? Can we live by the book a little bit? We'll slow down, okay? And in order to really see God, sometimes you got to wipe yourself clean. Being crucified with Christ really means you kind of crucify yourself to what you think you know already. You give yourself a clean slate so he can start writing what he can write what he want. Clean your plate so he can put what you really need on there. All right? Instead of all the stuff that you went and got and put on your own plate. That's killing you. Okay? Y'all listen to me? Yeah. And so even you go back at Abraham, now watch, he tells Abraham, he said, I'm gonna make you greater and make you a great nation, right? Mm-hmm. He never told Abraham he needed an heir to do it. Right. Abraham asked for an heir. He said, how you going to do this seeing I don't have an heir? But you're talking to God, telling God how he done set stuff up already. Y'all listen to me? Y'all remember when he going to sacrifice Isaac? God ain't say, I got a ram in the thicket for you. Slow it down. Abraham asked for that. If it's a prelude to Jesus, God trying to make you like him. God said, take your son up on the mountain and kill him. You probably would have saw a resurrection thousands of years before we had to see Jesus coming. But Abraham wants a ram in the thicket, so he asks, and God has to do what Abraham wants done. How many things do we ask for that may slow down his plan? This is living by the book. You got to slow down and see it. All the time we think God gave him a ram in the thicket. Yeah, he did it, but it's only because Abraham asked. It may not have been the original. Are y'all listening to me? So there are things you have to watch and you have to see. Slow down and see. And you use your imagination. Imagination is very, very important in this process. Sit in the story. Never said that before. Sit down in the story. Sit down in it. When you read it, sit down in there and look around. And see what's going on. The scripture will become way more interesting to you. When you're reading the scripture as a rule book, as a ritual book, as a lecture, as steps, laws, orders, all that's boring. Science, y'all remember taking science? Science wasn't no fun until it was experiment day. Until you about to dissect a frog, or if you ain't like that. Until you about to do something. That's why we like recess more than anything else, because you get action. The activity ain't no fun sitting there listening to somebody telling you what this is and what that is. Ain't no fun to experiment day with the best day. Yeah. We about to put the gloves on. Let's go for it. Yeah. Right? God understand that. That's why he made you like he made you. Mm-hmm. It's not meant for you to sit there and be a spectator. Right. Most of biblical study is spectation. I don't know if that's a word. Not expectation. Spectator. Right? We just made a word if that ain't a word. Spectation. remember we made it here. I keep the date. It is watching something happen and trying to put your faith on what happened with somebody else. So now I'm trying to live in the faith of somebody else. But their experiences are showing me. And the first rule in using a map is what? Find out where you are. Okay, map. That's scripture. It's a map. So find out where you are. When you find yourself outside of the red words, you need to be making your way on home. You tell them when you're younger, when the street lights come on, you need to be in that house. I don't care where you at. When them street lights come on, you better be in that front door. You get it? You better be over there. I don't care where you at. You can be back there by the ditch. You can be over by the trees. Locate where you are. Get yourself home. Get yourself back to the red words. Y'all listen to me. Yeah. It's okay if you find yourself somewhere else, because that happens sometimes. But with the map, find your way back to your center, to your Christ center, to who you truly are. You know, whenever you have failures, moral failures, or you just, you know, you're feeling some kind of way, or you feel bad about yourself, or you may treat somebody bad, or these things happen, those are all outside of the true you. That's really not you. That's something that you done picked up that tried to become you. Listen to me. There's something that come from somewhere else that then camped inside your soul and told you that's your bad ways. Right. And see what the enemy does is he throw a rock and hide his hand. You ever heard that before? Yeah. So it gets you to cut up. Right. Plant some seeds in your head, get you to cut up, and then step back and tell me, that wasn't me. Right. Blame it on the devil. Right. The devil made me do it. I ain't nothing to do with that. Right. That's you. Right. He make you think that's all you. Because there was something else that was planted in there. Right. Christ, you bring every thought to the old. Of Christ. The reason you do that is because when you bring everything to the obedience of Christ, Christ filters that thing. And it gets rid of the stuff that ain't supposed to be there, and it fortifies the stuff that should be there. Are you understanding me? But you got to bring how many thoughts? Every single one. Don't just bring it to him, bring it to the obedience. You get it? This is living by the book. So now this scripture, we're going to read another scripture. John, I don't want to start at John chapter 1. We left off last week. I'll start with verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, you ready? You there? Are y'all there? Read it. Ready? Read. John chapter 1, verse 14. Come on. Hold on. Wait. We're going to read it together. Y'all ready? John chapter 1, verse 14. Y'all ready? You ready? Say yeah. If you ready, say yeah. Y'all ready? Ready, read.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only
begotten of the Father. So now we conclude that the Word is flesh.
Yes.
The Word is not ink on the paper. The ink on the paper shows me who I am. You pull out your license right now. It got your picture on there and everything, but that ain't you.
That's right.
That's your ID.
Right.
It'll tell people who you are, but you, who you are is really who you are. Right. You, that's not, that, that license is not you. Right. It got your information, address on it, everything, but your house ain't on there. Right. I'm talking about physically. Right. You're not physically on that little plastic card standing there. That's me. No, that is just a picture or a representation, an ID representing. But it's not you. I can't shake that license hand. Y'all get me? Same thing. See, the word of God. If I'm one with the Father, this is the word of me. Don't get sacrilegious in your head about it. Like, don't. We're so afraid that God is going to be mad with us for saying certain things. Right. We're so afraid. We don't even understand it. We're afraid. He's going to strike you down. You know when you say this stuff. He's going to strike you with lightning. If you shut up. Stop. All that stuff is holding us back from growing. God is not. God does not have a problem with you being. He made it that way. Did you be one with? In the beginning, God made man in what? Case closed. You can't tell me nothing else now. He literally made me in his and his likeness. Then Jesus come and tell me we one with the Father. He want you and me, I'm in you, y'all. We all in all us. That's how he described it. Y'all get what I'm saying? So now the word of God becomes a word of who you are. The true who you are. Don't base it on what you think you are right now, because then you're on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Wow. You get it? Yeah, but we are the tree of life. And when we bring everything to the, we come to ourselves. Are y'all understanding? So now living by the book. Are y'all with it? So now the word was made flesh. The word, everybody say the word was made flesh. Come on, say it again. The word was made flesh. Say it again. The word was made flesh. So in the understanding, the word was made flesh. So we now let's go from these words on this paper to what he was trying to tell you is really this is about you. Now let's go back. We do a little history. Even in those times when we read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there was no Bible. There was no Holy Bible. So the word was literally was the flesh. Because every account was about a real, live human being. You see how far off we get? You know, however long you've been in church right now, you've been, see how far we've gotten? And we're over here, and now it's become something else other than flesh, other than a real live organism. Even the word Bible ain't in the Bible. Did y'all know that? We're going to break some stuff down in this class. Don't worry about your religion. You ain't going to lose it. It's the truth. Right? Word flesh. Word made flesh. The word is flesh. Say it.
The word is flesh.
Say it again. The word is flesh.
The word is flesh.
Come on, say it again. The word is flesh.
The word is flesh.
Say this. Say the word is alive.
The word is alive.
Okay. So now we're not talking about, there's not a manual. It's not a rule book, right? There are some manual things in there. There are some steps that we can learn in there, but it's really referring to your being, right? It becomes more, it's immediately more interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it immediately more, now I'm more ready to pick it up?
Yeah.
Because y'all know, we talked about it last week, y'all know, we've been reading this for duty. We read it because we thought God was going to be mad at us. We thought we weren't going to be able to hear his voice unless we read the word, right? Although his voice had to tell you to read the word. So somebody had to talk. He talked before the word was there. You know what I'm saying? He talked before the scripture was there. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, we have this minimalized mindset concerning the scripture. You get it? We think so small of it. It's so in a box with it. And we don't realize that it's an alive organism. And you can find yourself anywhere. You can find yourself in Peter, Paul. Peter was a racist. Heck yeah. Oh, listen. Y'all go read in Acts chapter 6 when the church, as it is right now, starts in Acts. Y'all go read in chapter 6, verse 1, and start talking about there's a murmuring of the Grecians. The Grecian widows were murmuring because they were overlooking the Greek widows because they weren't Jewish. Sound like racism to me. when Jesus says take care of everybody. You get it? We're gonna living by the book is gonna get real to you. You can find yourself in all of them. Who, pick somebody. Name somebody. Come on, name somebody. Boom. You can find yourself in Abraham, Jonah. Right. Me too. Yeah, I've been here. And it's like, all right, Lord, I was supposed to go that way. I'm sorry. I got you. Get me out of the well, please. And you find your way to these red words. So John chapter 5. Flip over John chapter 5 real quick. And John chapter 5, verse 39. And once again, don't ever forget this statement. In living by the book and in reading the scripture, context is everything. Yep. Remember we learned in English and in the reading class, context clues? You can tell what was going on by the clues that were going on before the sentence and after the sentence. Yeah. But you couldn't just take a sole sentence out of it and tell the whole story. You had to know what was going on. So you got to read up. You got to read up and you got to read down. So if I tell you to go to verse 39 right now, you can read verse 39 and you may know it. And a lot of times us as preachers, we take that scripture and do a whole message. All of verse 39, right? Because verse 39 got that key word we wanted in there. Right? But maybe you don't know what's going on, who he's talking to, and why he's talking like that. All those conversations make a difference, right? Who you're talking to makes a difference, don't it? Yeah. Right? If you're teaching a class, you would definitely talk differently to a set of four-year-olds than you would to a set of 14-year-olds, right? Yeah. You would talk differently because who you're talking to makes a difference. The conversation, and if I come in here, you talking about, hey, little kid, I think something wrong with you until I realize you're talking to four-year-olds or three-year-olds, right? So I know that you're not tripping. You're just talking to a certain set of people, right? And what you're saying to them, you may not say to them because you got milk and you got strong meat. Right. Are you understanding? Yeah. So now the context, but for the sake of, so this class, is gonna, you just do reading. It's going to get to the point where you're going to get addicted. Right. You may not be necessarily addicted to the scripture right now, addicted to reading right now, but you will be. You'll be addicted to the red words. Hallelujah. You'll be addicted to the gospel before we finish. So you better get ready. Yes, it's about to happen. But John chapter 5, verse 39, what color are those words?
Red.
They're red. So who's talking here?
Jesus.
So it's Jesus talking. So this is the most important conversation we need to hear. I like hearing everybody else. I think all the rest of them got a lot of good stuff to say. Yeah, they get, but Jesus is the express image of God. The words that come out of Jesus' mouth, he said, I ain't come of my own will. I ain't come doing what I want to do. It wasn't how I feel about it. I'm not coming talking to y'all about how I feel. I'm coming expressing God to you. It's what God looked like in your flesh. Are y'all hearing me? So now these words, these red ones are important. Matter of fact, if you understand, y'all know we've been in church a long time. Any of y'all been in church a while? For some years now? So, I mean, you know, a while. You 5 years plus, you've been there a minute. Like, right? But we've been overlooking Jesus like that, right? Like we overlook him like that. Like we honor him as our Savior, but we overlook him as us. We be honest. And so we begin, on the front side of Jesus was the law, on the other side of Jesus, the letters. Listen to me. And so both of them have some things in them that's trying to train you in a way. But Paul kept on trying to say, but I'm crucified with Christ. The life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I can teach you all these things. You can ask me all these questions about what you need to do, but you don't really need to know what, you remember the scripture said you don't need no man to teach you?
Right.
Yeah, because if you know Christ, uh-huh. I'm pointing, if look, can we can fix everything. You want to fix the world real quick?
Yeah.
Christ. I'm not talking about crusades.
No.
I'm saying if I could teach everybody that the true nature that's on the inside of them is Christ, all identity crisis, all indiscrepancies of understanding, all moral failures, would become lined up with the Father,
right?
And then everything would the fruit would come from the root.
Right.
See, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You ever hear the scripture talking about the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah, the fruit come from the tree. You can't go get the fruits. We try to get the fruit of the Spirit, so the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, right, or temperance, all that. So you try to go be temperate. You try to go be long-suffering. You're trying to go get some long suffering and incorporate it into your life. No, it got to come from you. And it's going to come from you when you go back to the original roots. You got to break down. He's talking about he's pruning it. He's talking about he pruned, he cut, he pruned. He's pruning. What he's doing is really pruning you. He's cutting some things that somebody else planted.
That's right. Come on, man.
Hey. Cutting some things that somebody else planted that's bearing fruit in your life from what they planted.
That's right.
So it's not, sometimes it ain't you.
Come on.
Sometimes it ain't you. See, we got to look at it the proper way. Sometimes, you know, you get down on yourself. Man, I just, no. Calm down. Sometimes it ain't you. It's, you remember, Jesus started giving the parable. And he said, when the farmer go to sleep, then the enemy come in. You didn't do that. The enemy came in and sowed tares. Just like the word is sown, he sowed tares in you. So now it starts growing. This is us. It starts growing, and we have these things that grow with us, these feelings, these insufficiencies, whatever it is, that grow with us, and immediately we want to tear it loose. No, don't do it that quick. Right. Let the wheat grow with the, because it's there for a reason. We're rebuking the tares. The tares are the training.
Right.
There are some things in my life that I couldn't help nobody with until I went through it.
Yeah.
Y'all better say amen.
Amen.
Yo, we running from stuff. I rebuke that name. No, bring it on.
Right.
If it showed up on my plate, I'm going to eat it. Let's go.
Right.
Because I realize that there's something in this process.
Right.
Even in my failures, there's a lesson.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't mean I go fail on purpose. But most of the time, we don't fail on purpose.
Right.
Most of the time, we just fail. And it's like, now we're looking up and we got dirt on us.
Yeah.
Get up.
Yeah.
And remember the steps you took. They were sown. The tares were sown. And the enemy meant it for evil. But it really made you grow stronger.
That's right.
So a lot of times, that's not you. That's something that was sown into you. Right? Now, when you know how to protect yourself, don't nobody just sow no stuff in your mind.
All right.
Everything, you can't get faith for something without hearing it.
That's exactly right.
Faith comes by
hearing.
What you hearing?
The word of God.
You get me? I try to pump my ears. I'm an audiobook guy. I try to pump my ears with the word, even when I'm sleeping. I try to pump my ears with the scripture. I put the gospels on and just let it roll. Thank God for technology. You got these phones now that play stuff. You know what I'm saying? Put it on. Just put it on repeat. Let it go. John 17. Put it on repeat. Let's go.
Right.
I hear it all night. Wake up and then you say, why I understand this so well? Yeah, it's been sold into you.
Right. Okay.
All right, watch this. All right. This is a good one. I'm learning too. I'm always teaching. When I'm teaching, I'm always teaching myself. Listen, don't ever forget that we in class together. Don't ever get old professor. No, ain't no professor. Nope. We figuring this out. All right. If the enemy comes in and sows while you're sleeping, why did he do that? Because he knew that if you were awake, you'd have never let him put it in there. You never let him sow. So he knows your most vulnerable time is when you're
sleeping.
So use what he tried to use against you on yourself. So while you're sleeping, sow the word. But let him preach to you all night long. You wake up. wake up like, man, what is wrong with you, right? Your consciousness, when you're awake, yeah. See, when you're awake, you have your little mental class. You have your conscious, which is like, snap your fingers. Everybody snap your fingers real quick. Everybody clap your hands one time, right? If I told you stand up, you ain't got to do it. But if I told you stand up, you would do it. Pick up your pen right quick. See, that's me telling you right there. Like, that's your conscious. You're acting consciously in the thing that you're rubbing your hand right now. That's your conscious, right? Right? You rub your hand too, right? It's conscious, right? Like, right? But then there's a sub that you have no control over. Now, your sub is really your field. Right? Your subconscious, sub is below. Right? It's the consciousness deep down, sound like the ground to me, like where the roots and the seed is planted. Your sub is where things get planted. And then right now, the way you're talking, you may have an accent, depends on where you're from.
Right?
But let me go get an accent. No. Why I talk like that? You don't even know you talk like that until you talk to somebody that don't talk like that. But that is ingrained in you because it was what you've heard for so long, and it hits your sub, and now when it comes out like that. My father taught me some stuff when I was younger. He said, stop saying that stuff like it's killing me. It was faith. It was on that faith. Stop saying, man, it's killing me. My back killing me. You get on my nerves because then you get the twitching and you wonder why you're twitching, right? Those stuff he started when he was younger, not to say those things because there's power in your words, right? But the only reason you would say those things, even talking about like right now, stop saying I'm broke. I'm broken in a joke, right? Stop saying that. But you're only saying that not because you really knew what you were saying. You heard it so much and it got into your sub and came out. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So my sub is my field. Yes. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
And you have no control over it. It only produces.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. You do have control over it if in your conscious mind you set yourself up to feed your sub the proper way.
Right.
So now one example is this sleeping.
Yes.
I'm not making a law out of it. I'm just telling you this is a cool little, this works.
Yes.
Yeah. When you sleep, you're unconscious.
Right.
Right, anything goes on when you sleep, right? Especially if you're a hard sleeper, right? You sleep, you're unconscious. But while you are awake, while it is day, work while it is, scripture also tells, come on, work while it is day, right? While it is day, while you are awake, set yourself up for victory when you
sleep.
Because you're going to wake up again. And whatever you feed, you ever ate something crazy before you went to bed?
Right.
And you dream crazy all night. Long. Just, you know you weren't supposed to eat it that late. But you just ate it that late. And now the sleep wasn't that good. You wake up the next morning and you might have been unconscious, but the sleep wasn't good. Just because you had something in you. Right? Your body, and I'm going to go to physical class right now, in health class. But your body, when you go to sleep, your body is repairing itself. This is what it's doing. This is why you have to use the restroom when you first wake up, because you're getting rid of the waste that the body has processed all night long. I finally got you to sit still. I finally got you to sit still and your organs have undivided attention. See, while you woke, you be doing stuff and making the energy go where you wanted to go. You doing all kind of stuff and you in control right then. Even though involuntary things are working, your heart beating, you're breathing, it's not something that you can really press a button for, but you're in control. But when you go to sleep, now it can do. It has no other energy going anywhere else, but it can focus on repairing you all night. It's something, man. You know, Eve was made when Adam was
sleep.
We can go through a lot of things that happen when people were sleep. You get it? Jacob was asleep before he wrestled with that angel. It's sleep. These are times when they're asleep and the Father comes to them. Because I ain't got nothing blocking. I ain't got your consciousness. Well, y'all get me? Because it's feeding you who you are. So you need to feed yourself who you are. Don't feed yourself who everybody else said you are. With your conscious, you know, just like you when you ate today and you picked up the fork or you picked up whatever it was and you went to your mouth, yourself, right? Do the same thing with your identity. So we were talking about context. You got to have context. Right? Verse 39, we'll start reading there. This is Jesus talking, right? So we know that's Jesus, right? So we know it's important, so we need to be paying attention. 39, he says, search the scriptures. Amen. We got that one down. We've learned to do that, right? We learned that it's the right thing to search the scriptures. You got a script. What is a script for? You ever heard a script? You got a play, got a movie, got something that's playing out. Stick to the script. So search the scriptures. Right? For in them you think you have identity. You think you have eternal life. You see it? And that's what we're looking for. Y'all know that. That's what we signed up for, eternal life. We signed up for eternal life. That's what we signed up, what we became Christians for. We didn't come here, we didn't sign up to be a Christian, to be the work of the ministry. No, we didn't. We found that part out after. We signed up because we didn't want to go to hell. See, I like to be honest with myself. And even though I got saved when I was a young boy, I didn't even realize what was going on until I got older. Right? But, you know, we signed up because they told us hell was hot. It's going to be eternal damnation, and I didn't want that.
Right.
Nobody wants that. Right? Eventually, we pick up on the love of God and what's going on. But that was a major part in a lot of our stories. Right? And so I just want to know, we're good with eternal life, right? So we search scripture, for in them you think you have. And I would read it, and I used to quote it, and I would say, you got to quote the scriptures. You should know the truth, and the truth what? Not set. Somebody said, they're about to say set. No, it's make. Because there's a difference.
Yeah.
All right? I'm going to do that a lot in this class, too. Because we misquote things, and we put certain words, and it changed the whole connotation. So I would read this, and I would say, search scriptures. For them, you think you have life, but they testify of me. Now, but zeros out everything that came before.
Right?
So if it was a but, it would say that part is obsolete. But he's not saying. He says and. So it's a conjunction. I mean, I'm adding, and they are they, which testify of me. So it doesn't mean that eternal life is not in the scriptures.
Right?
Right? But there's something else. Incomplete versus complete. Right? Unfinished versus. Right? Something uncooked might not be good for you. You got to finish cooking. You got to finish getting dressed before you leave out the house. Y'all get what I'm saying? You have to finish. If you drive, you could have got in your car, however long it take you to get, you got in your car and drove halfway and stopped and got out with your pad and your Bible and sat down wherever you was and said, it's time for class. You'd never made it here. Because you didn't finish the, it's simple, ain't it? You didn't finish the journey. It's unfinished. Most of the time, our view of the scripture and our study of the word is an unfinished, incomplete one. Which is why we have incomplete fruit. See, what we think is failure is really just incomplete. Because we're manifesting something, but it's just not what we expected it to be because we're not finished. That's it. Let's make it simple, don't it? Now watch this. The seed will bear fruit after its kind. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man, that's what he also reap. If I sow incomplete, I reap. So if I be unfinished, nothing will be finished about what I do.
Right.
Then I'll be giving out unfinished ministry.
Right.
God forbid that we start passing out our unfinishedness,
right,
which is what's happening around the church all over the world right now.
Right.
They're giving unfinished doctrine all day long.
Yeah.
And so you got a bunch of unfinished people walking around.
Right. That's right.
And they don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on with us.
Right.
Y'all get me?
Yes,
so search the scriptures. That's good.
Yeah.
Search them. Yes, search them, for in them you think you have eternal life.
Right.
Cool. That is okay for you to think.
Right.
And
yes, sir.
What's the next part?
Who's
talking now?
Jesus.
So he's saying those scriptures that you think you have eternal life in, right,
yeah,
that you've been searching,
right,
they testify of me. But what the next scripture say?
But you will not
stop.
Come to
incomplete. Incomplete. We're incomplete. So we stop with the law.
Right.
We stop with the rule and we begin to try to do the rule. But Romans 8, Paul starts talking about it. He said what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his son in likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, for not knowing your identity, that's what sin is, condemned sin in that same flesh. He condemned you not knowing who you are. When Jesus comes, are y'all with me? When Jesus comes, he eliminates all excuses.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You no longer have to live not knowing who you really are.
Yeah. Right.
You no longer have to live separate from your Father that loves you.
Right.
You don't have to anymore because
right,
I've eliminated all of that. For sin, condemn sin in the flesh.
Yeah.
So because of you missing your identity, I condemned the fact of you missing your identity in your flesh.
Right.
Because the law is too weak.
Right.
How many laws have we been trying to follow? We've been following and we're failing. We're following and we're failing.
Right.
You know, if we go through history, from the time Adam and Eve, which is us, ate from the tree, right? There was no law, no code of law until we got to Moses.
That's right.
There was no definition of what sin was. It just, they just, people just knew they were just messing up, they were dying and stuff was messing up. There was no definition of missing the mark. They didn't have nothing to weigh it by. So at the time, it was good for it. Right? But then Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I showed a full feel inside. Right? I showed you what it looks like in the flesh. Because you couldn't do it by following the rules, no way. He's failing. You get one rule right, you mess up another one. And some of them rules were against each other. I was talking about it last night in church. I talked about it before. Thou shalt not kill, right? Yeah. But they caught the woman in adultery, right? Right? And they said, the law said they could kill her if they. The same law. Mm-hmm. On one side of the law book, it said, thou shalt not kill. The main part, the first part, right? But you can kill in this instance.
Right.
What the law could not do.
Right.
That is weak. Through the flesh. So search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Cool. And they are they which testify of me. But the next scripture says, but you. And he said, and again. Then he say, but. I said, but just now, I fixed it. He said, and. So this is what you're connecting to it. And means connecting to it, right? Yeah. Search scriptures. Remember they gave eternal life. And they are they were testifying to me. And what you're connecting to it and conjunction to it is, and you won't come unto me. You will not come to me that you might have life. Now I can keep reading on, but let me break that down a little bit. You will not come unto me. You look up the word come and what it really means in the original definition of, I like to do what you call etymologies. Etymology. Etymology. You can look, you can Google it, whatever the etymology of the word is. Good study. You say, I type in etymology of the word whatever. So I put come in there, and it means, it doesn't mean so much come from another place. Like we say, come here. But it means come into view, or to appear, or to be open, or to come up from somewhere. That's what it means. So now he said, but you will not come unto me. You will not appear to me, or you will not let me appear to you. You will not let the truth of what this is come up into your vision, into your viewpoint, into your understanding. So you can actually, so now I can break this down, that you can actually search the scriptures and believe there's eternal life in it and know that they're testifying to him, but don't come to him. Which is tricky. It's happened and it's tricky. And it's not a deception. It's not like the tree. Now it's good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. Sounds like a good thing, don't it? Right? Sounds like good. I mean, it's good to know bad from good, right? Sounds like a good thing, but it was unfinished. And the Father said, we got to get him out of this garden. You go back to the salon and read it. Because you have not come all the way to the life of the oneness of the character of the Father. What good is it to have access to all things if you don't have his character? You'll abuse it. You mess up everything, which is what we've done. Every problem that exists in the earth right now is because of man. But you know, for God so loved, right, we're going to do some etymology, right? Mm-hmm. For God, John 3:16, y'all know it?
Yeah.
What did it say? Go ahead. For God so loved the what?
World.
Okay, stop. For God so loved the world. Now, that he gave his only begotten son. Now, if you know, you look at the word son, son means equality with the Father. When I call you son, I've made you equal with myself. They got mad at Jesus because he called himself the Son of God. Nobody was saying that. You go read the Old Testament, nobody was calling God their Father.
Right.
Go read it. It's amazing to me I saw that one day. It's amazing that nobody was calling him Father God.
Because
they knew the power of Father and the connotation that came along with Father, but they didn't see him as that.
Right.
Go look at it and read it.
Right.
They would talk about their fathers. So now they got mad at Jesus because he started having a new understanding, calling himself the Son of God.
Right.
All they heard was, he think he God.
Right.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
You too.
Yeah.
You're not God alone.
Right.
Duh.
Right.
Right?
Right?
In his image and his likeness. Yeah. So for God so loved the
world
that he gave his only begotten equal. Are y'all with it?
Right.
But let's go back. I'm just not even trying to get to it. For God so loved the what?
World.
Now, for God so loved the what?
World.
For God so loved the
world.
So God loves the world. right? Watch this. I look up the word world, the etymology, all that stuff, right? Come on, you got to do some studying. It talks about a harmonious system that's already in harmony, already working like it should. So God so loved what he set up. Remember now, he made the world before he made man.
That's right. And it was good. That's right.
You get it? Then he puts man in a world that he had already harmonized. He had already put the notes where they're supposed to be.
Right?
Already made everything work like it's supposed to work. I brought you here. I made you in my image. I didn't make everything else in my image. I made you in my image, and I told you to name everything else. So you name the animals. Your name is a character. You give the character to the animals. You tell them what they should do. I never saw that before. It's my first time. But you name the animals. You give them a character, right? But he had already made the organism and the organ. He'd already made it like he wanted. It was already in harmony. It was already working. All you had to do was get in there and line up with the harmony. Stop rocking the wrong way when you're in the choir. The choir doing like this. Stop going with your own rhythm. The rock, the beat is already established. The director has already established which way we swaying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sway with the director.
All right.
You listen to me.
Yes, sir.
But every problem that is on the earth right now is because man has decided to do it his own way.
Right.
He wants to take his own rhythm.
That's right. That's exactly right, sir.
His own function. Mm-hmm. His own way of doing things.
Yeah.
This is why the problem eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because then now the immediate thing you don't do, you start getting dressed and you go high.
Right.
Now you're in fear. You're immediately afraid even though you got smarter.
Right.
You were afraid of something that wasn't really afraid.
Right.
God come and say, where y'all at? Now, he knew where they was already, but he's trying to give them a chance. Didn't help because you got too smart.
Yeah.
Too smart and you begin to self-preserve.
Right.
You get it? But for God so loved the organization that he made already.
Right.
He already loved the harmony that he put in place already. So I sent my equal in there to show you how to line up with the harmony. A little different now, huh? For God so loved the world, right?
Yeah.
That whosoever believe, who be living and acting in that understanding, that faith, right, will not perish.
Yeah.
But they have
everlasting life.
But he loved what he set up already.
Yeah.
So every problem that exists is because man decided to do something else different.
Right.
He tried to take the power and shoot it in the direction he wanted to make it in. That's where greed comes from. That's where lust comes from. That's where confusion comes from. That's where all discrepancies come from. That's where racism and classism, all these things come from man trying to take the power of the image of God that they are and put it in another direction. Those things have life, but not everlasting, which means they got to come down. Are y'all understanding? You can search the scriptures and not come all the way to Jesus. And 95, 96, 97, 98, 99% of the Christian church is living in that place. Right? That's why we came. Because we need to cross that hurdle. The thing that we've been looking for is already in us. But we've got to break down. Everybody say break down. Come on, crucify. When Jesus talking about take up your cross and follow me. He's talking about take up your cross and prepare to die. But die to what you already thought was real. Die to what you built yourself upon already. You get it? So that I can purge you and get all that stuff that other people put in there out so that you can really be who you really are. Are y'all understanding? So I'm searching the scripture, but I know that the scriptures themselves can't tell me nothing. They can't. They talk about eternal life. They tell me about eternal life, and they testify of him, but I still got to come. It's one thing to read about somebody. It's another thing to meet them.
Come on now.
Right?
Yes,
read about it. But then you meet them in person.
Right.
It's a whole nother level.
Right.
I remember, I'll say this and I'll be gone. I remember as a young man, I met a lot of all my superstars were preachers. So, you know, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, John Osteen. I mean, because the books is all on the shelf in Dad's house. Right? And I remember going to camp meetings and I would meet them. I'd be in the elevator with Brother Copeland and John Osteen at the same time. I'll never forget that. And I'm looking, and Brother Copeland knew my name. He used to call me Montel sometimes. Right? And at the time, I was just like, because those are my superstars.
Yeah.
And then meeting them in person was totally different from reading their books.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
I had another substance in my hand.
Yeah. That's right.
And I can hear them, hear their audible voice. You get it?
Yeah.
I just, There's something about it.
That's right.
That's what Jesus is with you. He's screaming on the inside of you.
All right, all right.
Screaming all the time.
Yes,
you got to let him. Amen. Amen. I'll let him.